Chapter 18.
1802. In the second week of January, I was feeling stronger, so I rode over to Wuthering Heights to tell my landlord that I would leave Thrushcross Grange. Hareton Earnshaw let me in. I took more notice of him this time. He was a handsome lad, but his manner was very rough. I asked if Mr. Heathcliff were at home. He told me that Heathcliff was out, but would return for dinner. I said that I would wait for him. Catherine was in the sitting room, preparing some vegetables for dinner. She seemed sadder and less spirited than before. She did not greet me, but went on with her task as if I were not there. When Heathcliff arrived, I noticed that he was thinner and had a restless, anxious expression. "I am going to London, Mr. Heathcliff," said I, "and I will not return to Thrushcross Grange. You can find another tenant for October."
"Oh, indeed,"
said he.
"But you must pay your rent till October, sir, as we agreed."
"Of course," I replied, irritated by his manner. "I'll pay you now if you like." Riding away from Wuthering Heights, I thought what a strange, romantic fairy tale it would have been if Mrs. Linton Heathcliff and I had fallen in love, and I had taken her away with me from this lonely place to the lively atmosphere of London. The following September, as I was going to visit a friend in the north, I realized that my journey took me close to Thrushcross Grange. I had a sudden impulse to spend the night there. After all, I had paid the rent. It was mine until October. I stopped the carriage in the village and told my driver to sleep at the inn and be ready to drive on in the morning. Then I walked to the Grange. When I got there, however, I found a strange woman in the kitchen. I told her who I was and asked her to prepare a room for me. Then I asked her where Mrs. Dean was.
"She lives up at Wuthering Heights now,"
said the woman. I decided to go to Wuthering Heights to see Mrs. Dean. The sun was setting and the moon was rising as I left the park. When I reached Wuthering Heights, I noticed that the doors and windows were open, and there were flowers in the garden. "That is an improvement," I thought. As I approached the door, I heard voices from within.
"No, no, no,"
said a voice, as sweet as a silver bell.
"Read it again, and this time with no mistakes."
"Kiss me first,"
said a deeper voice.
"Not until you have read it perfectly."
I looked in and saw Catherine and Hareton sitting by the window, with their heads bent close together over a book. Hareton was handsome, clean, and well-dressed, and his face glowed with pleasure. Her face was full of gentle, tender affection. Seeing it, I felt sad at the thought of what I had missed. When Hareton had read the passage through with no mistakes, Catherine kissed him and said,
"Let's go for our walk now."
I did not want to interrupt them, so I hid behind the door until they were gone. When they were out of the gate, I looked into the sitting room again and saw my old friend, Nellie Dean, sitting by the fire, sewing. She saw me and leapt to her feet.
"Mr. Lockwood, why didn't you tell us you were coming? Thrushcross Grange will not be ready for you."
"Don't worry," said I. "I have been to Thrushcross Grange, and the housekeeper is preparing a room for me now. But tell me, why aren't you at Thrushcross Grange, Mrs. Dean?"
"Oh, I've been here for over 3 months now. I came just before Mr. Heathcliff died,"
she replied. "Is Heathcliff dead, then?" I asked, amazed.
"Yes, didn't you know? But come in, and I'll tell you all about it."
I entered and sat by the fire, opposite Mrs. Dean, and she told me the end of Heathcliff's story. I will retell it here, in her own words.
I was summoned to Wuthering Heights a few months after you left us. Mr. Heathcliff said he was tired of seeing Catherine. I should make the kitchen my sitting room, he said, and keep Catherine with me there. I did as I was told, and Hareton spent his evenings with us in the kitchen. I noticed that the young people were fond of each other now. Catherine told me how they had become friends. After Linton Heathcliff's death, Catherine had spent most of her time in her room, but there was no fire there, and one day she told Zillah that she couldn't stand the cold any more. Zillah told her to come downstairs to the sitting room. Since Mr. Heathcliff was out, she came down and sat by the fire with Zillah and Hareton. After that, she came downstairs every time Mr. Heathcliff was out. At first, she was haughty and proud towards Hareton, but gradually they made friends. Instead of laughing at his ignorance as she had done before, Catherine began to teach him to read. Although she still teased him about being stupid, it was now clear that she was only joking. She liked him and wanted to help him. One day, a short time after I arrived at the Heights, Catherine asked Hareton to clear some land so that she could plant flowers. He did so with pleasure, and they spent a fine afternoon planting the flowers and admiring their work. That evening at dinner, Joseph complained that they had taken a part of his fruit and vegetable garden.
He pulled out 3 fruit trees to plant those flowers,
Joseph complained.
Did he indeed?
Cried Mr. Heathcliff.
Well, tomorrow he will pull up the flowers and plant the fruit trees again.
No, he won't,
cried Catherine.
You have taken all my land, and all Hareton's land too. We are entitled to a bit of land to plant flowers in if we want. You see, Hareton and I are friends now. He will not do what you tell him to do now, if I don't want him to.
Hush,
said Hareton, afraid of making Heathcliff angry.
Get out of my sight, you little witch,
cried Heathcliff. Catherine left the room quickly, and Hareton and I followed her. A moment later, we heard the front door slam. Heathcliff had gone out, so we could all relax a little. Catherine and Hareton started reading together, as they usually did in the evenings. I sat sewing by the fire. An hour later, Heathcliff returned. When he walked into the room, Catherine and Hareton looked up from their book. I don't know if you have noticed, but their eyes are exactly alike. They are the first Catherine's eyes. I suppose Mr. Heathcliff saw the resemblance as he looked at them. He told them to leave the room, but made a sign to me to stay behind.
Ah, Nelly,
he said when they were gone.
What a ridiculous end to all my efforts. I have spent my life trying to destroy 2 families. Now that everything is mine, I find I no longer want to punish them. My old enemies have not beaten me. Now I could destroy their offspring completely. But what's the use? I no longer want to give them pain. It is not that I have decided to be generous to them. It's simply that I no longer enjoy tormenting them. Hareton reminds me of myself at his age. And he also looks like Catherine, my Catherine. But I don't need Hareton to remind me of her. I think about her all the time. I see her face in every cloud, in every tree. The whole world is a reminder that she existed, and I lost her.
A few weeks after that, Heathcliff was away from home all night. The next morning, Catherine went out to pick some flowers. When she came back, she said she had seen Heathcliff and that he looked happy. This was strange news indeed. I waited for him anxiously, curious to see what he looked like when he was happy. Finally, he came home. He was pale and trembling, but there was a strange, joyful glitter in his eyes. I asked him where he had been all night, but he did not answer me. I offered him food, but he did not eat. He sat by the window, looking out eagerly, that strange smile on his face. Later I brought him coffee, but he did not touch it. He sat there, looking at the wall with intense interest. Come, master, I said, drink your coffee before it gets cold.
Be quiet,
he cried.
Turn round and tell me, are we alone in this room?
Of course we are alone, Mr. Heathcliff, I replied.
Look,
he whispered. I turned and looked. Now it seemed to me that he was not looking at the wall, but rather at something 2 yards in front of him. Something that seemed to cause him great pleasure and great pain. But there was nothing there. The object he stared at seemed to move, for his gaze moved with it. "Come, Mr. Heathcliff, eat some bread at least. You have eaten nothing for days." But he did not answer me. He stood up and walked out of the house and disappeared through the gate. He did not return until after midnight. Then he went straight to Catherine's old bedroom, the one with the oak case, and locked himself in. I went quietly to the door and listened. I could hear his voice, speaking as if to a living person. From time to time, I heard him speak Catherine's name with some endearment or expression of suffering. That night, the wind blew and the rain beat down on the house. I slept badly and had frightening dreams. The next morning, I went outside to get a little fresh air. I noticed that the window of the first Catherine's old bedroom was wide open. I went into the house and upstairs to the room. When I opened the door of the oak case, I found Mr. Heathcliff lying on the bed. His eyes were wide open and had a strange, joyful expression, and his face was washed with rain. One hand lay on the windowsill. The window had been knocking against it, but it was not bleeding. When I touched it, I found that it was stone cold. There could be no doubt that he was dead. We buried him as he had wished, beside Catherine in the old graveyard on the moor. Hareton and I were the only mourners, and no prayers were spoken over his grave. I hope he is at peace now, although some of the village people say they have seen his ghost walking on the moors. One stormy evening, when I was walking to the Grange, I met a little shepherd boy with a sheep and 2 lambs. He was weeping. I asked him what was the matter, and he told me that he had seen the ghosts of Heathcliff and a woman up on the moor.
Just then, the gate opened, and Catherine and Hareton returned. I could hear their happy voices just outside the door. Once again, I felt the desire to escape them. "Goodbye, Mrs. Dean," I said, pressing some money into her hand, and I slipped out through the kitchen door. On my way back to the Grange, I passed by the lonely churchyard where Heathcliff, Catherine, and Edgar were buried. It was a calm, beautiful, moonlit night. The breeze was warm and gentle. As I stood there, breathing in the sweet smell of late summer flowers, I wondered how anyone could ever imagine unquiet slumbers for the sleepers in that quiet earth.